the safety issues that we have with. If you notice from this morning that we were talking from the book of Romans chapter 8 and talking about the good things of God. And certainly as we continue looking at some of those things in the 8th chapter, I do believe that we as Christians can find them very encouraging to us. And let us remember that the promises in which that God has made it to us, that he will not break. God will keep every promise that he has promised. We can count on that. We can see that from history, from the beginning of time, that God kept his promise. Even though it was very difficult for God's people to meet some of those challenges, yet God kept his promise. He promised the land, known as the land promise. But it was difficult, but it was given to him. Joshua said not one thing failed that God had promised. God promised through Abraham that someone would come and rescue the nations. Took a long time. Long time, but God kept his promise. Time has no effect on what God says, because God never forgets those things in which that he has promised. And as we look to what Paul said in Romans 8, Paul here pointed out, and if you remember, we were in verse 33 this morning. And that was where we ended up at. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And I think that's about where we stopped at. But it continues on. He said, it is God that justifies. You know, sometimes we think that we are God. But yet, we need to realize that we are not God. We are God's servants. And as God's servants, we are to do as God bid. We take it in the old times, and when a slave refused to honor the master, he could have them punished, beaten, and even killed. And so we need to realize, as God's servant, we must do what God bids us to do, or else we will suffer the consequences of it. But it is God who justifies. We cannot secure our own self, because we cannot within ourselves save ourselves. Now, we may be able to save ourselves from a lot of physical things in life. Like maybe we get thrown into the river, we may be able to swim out of it. But when it comes to the spiritual side of it, as far as forgiveness, we can't forgive ourselves in the sense of sins. And say, well, now, God, you're going to have to let me in because I forgave myself. No, it is God that justifies. And he did that through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But we go further and notice, as Paul continued in the book of Romans, and he tells us in the very next breath, in verse 34, who is he that condemneth? Now, sometimes we find individuals who has an eye of judgment, and we bring condemnation on individuals through our own way of thinking. Now, someone said, well, you don't have a right to judge. Surely, we within ourselves, we can't make up the rules and regulations for judging. But it is God that condemneth. So how does God do that? God has given us a law in which that we are to follow. And we break that law, we bring condemnation upon ourselves because we have broken the rule in which that God has given. And if someone points out that rule in which that you have broken, we should be glad for that. Remember what Jesus teaches us in John 7:24? When we make judgments, we make these judgments not according to appearance, but according to righteousness. Judge not according to the appearance, but give a righteous judgment. Matthew 7 says, judge not that you be not judged. So in what is he talking about? I can't make any kind of judgment. Sure, he goes on into the chapter and tells us that we can make judgments, but not upon our standard. That's not where judgment is. It's on God's standard. Whatever God says about it, then that's what we have to settle for as his servants. And so Paul said, it is God that condemneth. Or who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Now, condemnation came, as you remember this morning from John 3, when Jesus came into the world, people refused to accept and walk in that light or in that truth. And condemnation came upon mankind. Man was condemned before Jesus came. It was not that Jesus came to condemn the individual, but Jesus came to rescue people from sin. And through that means, the whole world, like John said, in 1 John 5:19, the whole world lieth in wickedness. But if you say it is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Ain't it wonderful to know that we have someone that can make intercession for us? Remember what Hebrews writer says in Hebrews 7:25? Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost. All that come unto God by him. What does he mean? He is able to save them to the uttermost. In other words, he is able to save them completely. Not a halfway job. When God does something, he does it right. He doesn't do a halfway job. And when we look at what the writer said, he is able to save them to the uttermost. All that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth, not like the priest was under the old system. When a high priest died, they had to get another. But Jesus is our high priest. He says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Now who is he talking about? Is he talking about the world as sometimes people look at it? And you take the people of the world that is in the denominational realm, they'll run to 1 John chapter 1 to a sinner. If you confess your sins to the Lord, he'll forgive you right there. Now God has not made a promise like that to the alien sinner. He's not. But God has promised to forgive. And God has promised to forgive those who do as John said. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, he said, my people which are called by my name, if they will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and will heal their land. God has promised to hear his people. But if you're an alien, that is one who has never come into that covenant relationship with God, he's not promised to hear you.
Not saying that God won't hear you,
because God hears everything that goes on. But God has promised to save you in heaven. In sin. God has promised to save you from sin.
And so that means a breaking loose of sin. And when you submit your will to God's will and do what God said for you to do, then God has made a promise to all humanity, you'll be saved. But not until we comply to the condition that's set forth. Jesus raised from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He is sitting on the right hand of God. And he is living to make intercession for us. Now we as God's people, when we sin, we do need to repent of those things and then plead for God's forgiveness. Because John said if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does he mean? He makes us new again. Makes us new again.
And you remember, probably no doubt, you've heard it many, many times, on the way to the son of the prophet, son of David's son.
He thought he had it made. He received his father's inheritance.
He got it. Now I'm rich. Now I go to spend it.
And so he did. He got with the wrong group and wasted all his money.
That's what happens sometimes, ain't it? You got money, all these friends coming at you. You got plenty of them there.
But he wasted everything and then
he ended up being more. But you know, one good thing about it, that son knew where he had it good at. He came to himself.
It's sad
sometimes today that many people
do not, and I'm talking about those who have drifted from the Lord, do not
come to themselves. But here we find him saying that Jesus is at the right hand of God. He is making intercession for us. Now, verse 35, he said,
who shall separate us from the love of God or the love of Christ? You know, when you think about that and realize,
who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You know, as I pointed out
even this morning, that sometimes we allow husband or wife or children,
sometimes he
calls us to drift away.
And get away from the Lord. They don't make us. We allow it. But who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Christ loved man even when man was deep in sin. He still loved him.
Remember what Jesus teaches us? Matthew 18:11. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If man would have been righteous and could have been righteous and could have been in the sense of forgiveness,
having that forgiveness, Jesus would never have to die. Man could have kept God's law perfect. Sin. Amen.
There had to be some sacrifice made for sin. And it was the love of Christ. And Paul, you remember in the Corinthian letter,
2 Corinthians chapter 5,
the love of Christ constraineth us. And when we look and see what Paul is saying here, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he begins to list, shall tribulation,
distress, persecution,
famine,
earth,
tribulations,
many times, you remember, you turn on your radio
and you listen and to your TV and you hear a lot of times
they talk about, well, that big rapture is going to come and there's going to be a tribulation period. We need to realize as Christians, we're having tribulations right now. We don't have to wait for them. We don't have to wait for them. They're already here. If tribulation was a long way off after the Christ
coming, then as Christians, we wouldn't have to worry. Paul wouldn't have to talk about any of these things.
And time and time again, he talked about, like in Romans chapter 5, you know, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And then he said, love
for us, Lord, in tribulation. And so here he says, shall tribulation separate us?
What about distress?
You know, sometimes we get, as we say, we get stressed out.
But what about distress? What about the discomfort that came on the early Christians?
When they could look and see some of their own brothers and sisters being killed,
their heads chopped off because they had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Persecution? We probably never have seen things like that, most of us at least.
When people were rolled in tar and
feathers and set on fire to be a light for the city.
Now we go down through the city, we look on the pole, we see a light up there, get a light.
Not somebody being burned. But that's what the early Christians went through and endured. Why did they do that? Simply because they knew just for a while there was this persecution, this suffering, but it was going to be something that was worthwhile and in the end,
have a home
with God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4,
for our light affliction, which is but for a moment,
worketh in us a far more and exceedingly eternal weight of glory.
Why? For we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen.
For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know. Chapter 5.
We know if earth, the house of this tabernacle, word of God, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Ain't it wonderful to know that we can rely upon the promise
of God, knowing
that
we have a home in heaven? We fulfill faith. And who should separate us from the love of
Christ?
Tribulation, stress, persecution. Can you imagine going for weeks
without anything to eat? Can you imagine that? I'm probably no doubt, maybe some of you may have had. But yet, when you stop and think about it, famine. We read of the accounts of famine. But Amos, you remember, through that prophet, he said, I will send a land, not of water, not, in other words, not of food,
but of hearing the word of God.
And you know,
today we find people who claim to be very devout religious people and they refuse to hear what God has to say.
Remember that commercial on TV several years ago that I'd walk a mile for a camel? Talking about the cigarettes, you know? You can't get people to walk a mile for the truth hardly at all. How many people do you know that walks a mile to service? Now, years ago they did. Years ago, people did. And they didn't mind it at all. But today, we've got automobiles we can just step outside and get into, drive a mile, 2 miles, 3 miles, 10 miles at ease. But we refuse to go hear the truth. Maybe a lie is easier to swallow than the truth. Might be easier to swallow. But you know, if we make it to heaven, it's going to take the truth. And we may as well swallow it and digest it, because that's the only way it's going to do us any good. He said he sent a famine in the land. Something in which that is easy on them. You know, sometimes there's procedures in the medical field that is very difficult, but you have to go through it if you're going to get better. Sometimes the way the truth is, sometimes it may be very difficult, but we're going to have to go through it if we're going to get better. God ain't promised an easy way to heaven. As a matter of fact, he says that you must strive in order to get there. Press hard. The apostle said he pressed toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's not an easy road. The road is rocky, but I can tell you one thing, when we get to the other side, it's going to be easy, because our work is finished. As far as resistance to the devil, as far as difficulties in life, and so he said, who will be able to separate us from the love of Christ? Now, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Dangers awaiting the apostles. Those men who stood in the early century of the church stood for the truth. Dangers awaited them. Men had plotted in order to find ways to kill them, to take their lives. Not just the apostles, but others as well. And when we think about the life in which that they lived, thinking about the death in which that they endured, and still did not refuse to deny Christ. Maybe they could rely upon what Jesus taught in Matthew 10, 28. Fear not them that can kill the body. After that, they can do no more. But that fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Verse 36, Paul said, as it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long.
We're counted as sheep
for the slaughter. Remember, on one occasion, Paul said to those at Corinth that he died daily. And when we find, as Paul points out here, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. They knew. They knew the consequences of standing for truth. Verse 37, he says, nay, in all these things, remember, talked about this morning, verse 28, all things work together for good. Now he says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Have you ever really stopped to think about that? When we realize, and sometimes there's difficulties in our lives, and we get control of it. And just like sometimes we see, you know, how that, well, you go back even to one of the last world wars, World War II. The United States conquered the enemy. That was a big thing. But you know, Paul said, we are more than conquerors. Not just conquerors, but we're more than conquerors. We've exceeded conquering. We are more than that. Well, how do we do it, Paul?
Through him
that loved us. Not by our own self, but it's through him, through Christ, that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. He listed a lot of things, didn't he? A lot of things. But he said, I am persuaded. And you better believe that when he made that statement, that he was persuaded. He was fully persuaded. Sometimes we find, you know, someone may persuade us. You know, you get with a group, and especially young people, they get with a group and someone persuades them. And then here comes another friend this way. Maybe this friend says to this person, don't go there. And they don't go that direction. You see, they weren't fully persuaded to go in the way if the other person maybe wanted them to go. Because if they'd have been, they'd have went right ahead. And sometimes people do. Sometimes people do reject someone else's advice. And it's sad today that many people are rejecting the advice of the Lord. They are rejecting the advice of the Holy Spirit. They are rejecting the advice of the Father in heaven. Because if the Father of heaven is pleading for individuals to come to him, Jesus pleads for individuals, Matthew 11:28, familiar verse. Come unto me all, ye that labor and are heavy laden. They reject the plea of the Holy Spirit, Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And we say, no, not now. I want to live my life the way I want to. And then one day I'll make things right. Sad to say that to many, that one day came one day too late, because they sealed their destination not making things right with God. And we think about that and realize that we find the Apostle Paul said, I am persuaded. I'm persuaded. Not only do we reject the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, we also reject the church. Because the church is in this world pleading for individuals to come and obey truth. While the devil has his out there, I'm talking about his church. He has his out there that just tells you, well, you don't have to do that. You don't have to go that extra mile. You don't have to go to church services. You can stay home and be just as good a Christian as they are. You don't have to assemble with God's people to partake of the Lord's Supper. You don't have to do things like that. Why, that will get boring if you do that every Sunday. The devil likes to put things into our minds. He likes to lead us away from the truth, but not to the truth. And so when we realize what Paul is saying, that he was persuaded that none of these things remember on occasion that Paul had said, none of these things move me, Acts 20. None of these things move me, neither count my life dearer than myself. I finish my course with joy. That's why he endured what he did. Because he was not going to be moved from the truth. Remember a song sometime we sang, I shall not be moved. Just like the song we sing tonight, will your anchor hold? I can tell you one thing, if your anchor won't hold, you're going to be a lost person forever. But if our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, Hebrews 6:19, we will not fail. God has promised heaven to us. Shall tribulation, angels, principalities, powers. You know, the sad thing about it is that here he says angels won't or can't separate us. Paul gives a warning in Galatians 1. He said, but though we or an angel from heaven will preach any other thing unto you, let him be accursed. But you know, people sometimes are persuaded by angels that's not there. They think they've seen an angel. Or they think that they've heard an angel. But now, I do know that the devil has his angels. He has his ministers. An angel just is a minister. Angels, principalities, powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So many times we find people that read this verse and they think eternal security. Once I get saved, I have nothing to worry about. That's not what he's talking about. No, he's talking about God's love for mankind. Does God love the sinner? Sure he does. He doesn't love what he does, but he loves the sinner. Does God love the Christian? Sure he does. What about the one that became a Christian and just went, got on the wrong track? God love them? Sure he does. But you know, even though man stands before him in the dead judgment and is lost eternally, God still loves that person. Still. But we're taught here in this life that we are to keep ourselves in the love of God. Jude 21. And we're taught in this life that this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. 1 John 5, verse 3. We're taught by Jesus, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if we have a love for God, his word will abide within us. John 15. You see, God's grace is so love, so high, I mean so strong and so powerful, Can't be measured. Just can't be measured. It's so high we can't get over it, and so low we can't get under it. And we must go through it if we ever make it to heaven. God's love is secure, everlasting. Because God is from everlasting to everlasting. And the Hebrew writer says that God is what? Love. Also says right down, you know, before the death, God is a consuming fire. But God will fulfill his promise. We can count on that. If you're not a Christian tonight, you need to become a Christian. Because those who obey his will be those that will be saved.
In Mark 16, he made the two promises. He that believeth, that cometh.